You are deep in the zone, right? You're coding a brand new application and you just hit a massive wall.
Yeah, we have all been there.
Exactly. I mean, maybe it is a nasty logic error or a database query that just absolutely refuses to optimize.
And if you are like most developers right now, your very first instinct is to just grab that snippet, right?
Yeah, grab it, copy it, and drop it straight into a cloud AI assistant like ChatGPT or GitHub Copilot.
It's just muscle memory at this point.
It really is.
Yeah.
But we are looking at a huge problem today. Really the core tension of modern development, which is the privacy paradox.
It is the defining bottleneck for enterprise and security-focused developers right now.
Absolutely.
Because you desperately want the speed, right? You want that 10x multiplier of an AI coding assistant. But the second you paste your proprietary algorithm,
Or inadvertently include your private security key.
exactly. The second you put those into a cloud service API, you are taking an unacceptable risk. You are essentially transmitting your most valuable intellectual property to a centralized server run by a completely third party.
Which, you know, if you're working on a zero-day exploit or a proprietary trading bot or government contracts,
That's a fireball
you
offense.
just can't do it.
Yeah.
So what is the mission of our deep dive today? We are exploring a radical solution to this exact paradox.
A total paradigm shift, really.
Yeah, instead of accepting the risk of sending your data out to a massive cloud AI, we're looking at a system that fundamentally flips the architecture, bringing a highly capable AI directly to your data and just locking the door behind it.
And the sources we have to unpack this are incredibly revealing about where edge computing is heading.
They really are. We've got a great stack today.
We are looking at a stack of highly confidential internal product documents. This is a single source of truth, or SSOT.
Right.
And alongside that, we have the technical WooCommerce product page outlining how this exact system is pitched to the public.
And my favorite part, we also have a fascinating set of visual design prompts and the generated marketing images that show us exactly how the creators view this technology.
It really paints a picture.
It does. So we are talking about a system called the DevOps Sovereign, which the internal docs refer to as OpenClaw Deep Admin.
That sounds intense.
Right. It is a $499 perpetual license software suite. And it's designed to run entirely offline on a very specific, dedicated piece of hardware called the Sovereign Sentry Pro.
What's fascinating here is the absolute uncompromising commitment to what the internal documents call island mode,
Island mode, I love that term.
or zero data exfiltration. It is the holy grail for any sovereign operation. Whether you are a paranoid sysadmin or a defense contractor, you are keeping your intellectual property completely off the cloud.
Which is so rare now.
Exactly. In a tech ecosystem where every single application seemingly wants to phone home for telemetry or updates, building a powerful intelligent system that is entirely self-contained is a massive engineering hurdle.
Huge.
But if you achieve it, you bypass the privacy paradox entirely. Your code stays on your bare metal.
And looking at these internal design docs, the aesthetic they're going for is very specific and sets the tone perfectly for that bare metal vibe.
Yeah, it's very distinct.
It is heavily described in the prompts as Mr. Robot meets Industrial Core.
That is perfectly accurate.
It is all dark terminal greens, deep blacks, matte hardware, and glowing code. It isn't sleek, friendly consumer tech. It looks like it belongs hidden in a server closet.
It definitely leans into a rugged cyberpunk ethos. It is positioning itself as a serious tool for serious operators, not a toy.
There is this one image concept in the sources that really stuck out to me, which they literally titled The Ghost in the Machine.
Oh, yeah, that one is striking.
It is a hyper-realistic close-up of these matte black aluminum cooling fins. But deep down inside the gaps of the heavy metal, there is this intense pulsating neon green light forming the abstract shape of a digital neural network.
It brilliantly conveys this idea of raw active intelligence trapped inside cold, disconnected metal.
Yes, exactly. And another image gives us the hardware context. A black anodized aluminum box sitting completely vertical on a slate rock with just a single blue Ethernet cable plugged into the back.
No Wi-Fi antennas anywhere.
None. But the best detail is a stark physical warning sticker on the side of the chassis that reads, "Caution, local AI onboard, 32 GB RAM allocated."
That sticker isn't just a marketing gimmick.
No, it really isn't.
It points directly to the incredibly strict hardware reality required to make this offline ghost in the machine actually function.
Yeah.
The SSOT document does not mince words about the technical specifications here.
Right, they are very clear.
The DevOps Sovereign software is optimized specifically for the Intel Core i3 N305 8-core CPU and that 32 gigabytes of RAM. The document labels it as a strict requirement.
Strict with a capital S.
Explicitly warning users not to even attempt running the stack on the standard 16 gigabyte version of the hardware.
Which on the surface seems like a massive amount of memory just to run a background administration agent. I mean, most standard Linux server monitors require a fraction of that.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we can understand exactly why that 32 gigabyte limit is a hard line in the sand.
Okay, let's hear it.
The core of this product, the brain, running locally, is a large language model. The SSOT specifies they are using the Llama 3.8b instruct-v2.jguf model.
That's a mouthful.
It is. Now, for anyone dealing with local AI models, you know, they use 4-bit quantization. That is the magic trick here. It aggressively compresses the AI's neural network weights so it can actually execute on a standard CPU without melting it.
Rather than requiring a massive $10,000 GPU array.
Exactly.
But even with that extreme compression, the AI is still incredibly hungry.
Exactly the issue. Even quantized down to 4-bit, that specific 8 billion parameter LLM consumes about 12 gigabytes of your system's memory just to load into RAM and function at a usable speed of 10 to 15 tokens per second.
Wow, just to wake up, essentially.
Right. If you only had a 16 gigabyte machine, the AI would immediately starve the rest of your system. You absolutely need that 32 gigabyte pool because the operating system, which the document notes is natively Rios Core, based on Proxmox, and Ubuntu needs the remaining memory.
You have the hypervisor, the OS overhead, and any actual virtual machines or containers you're running on the box.
They all need room to breathe while the AI hums along in the background.
Okay, let's unpack this. We know it requires some serious dedicated offline metal, and we know it takes up a massive footprint. But what does it actually do with all that compute power?
It's doing a lot.
The sources break down the operational capabilities of the deep admin into three main pillars. It basically acts as a 24/7 digital janitor and junior developer for your network.
I like that framing.
The first capability is air-gapped code review, or what they call the private copilot.
This is the direct answer to that developer workflow problem we started with. The need for AI review without the cloud vulnerability.
Right. And the workflow they outline is seamless. Let's say you are a developer and you push a new commit to a local Gitea or GitLab instance running on your internal network.
Totally offline.
Totally offline. The agent uses something called the Sovereign Hook, which is a lightweight bash script living on your Git server to detect that a push just happened. Without a single byte of data leaving your local LAN, the agent automatically pulls the Git diff, spins up the local LLM into active memory, and scans your code.
It is actively hunting for hard-coded credentials, logic loops, or vulnerabilities.
And the marketing visuals show a UI mock-up of this process. You see a split-screen Git diff and a glowing green comment box pops up on a specific line saying, critical vulnerability detected, SQL injections suggested, fix applied.
The beauty of this is the autonomy combined with the isolation. It can comment directly on your local pull request or securely fire off an alert on Telegram or Signal, letting you know it found a race condition in your code and actually attaching the generated fix.
You are getting the benefit of an advanced AI code reviewer, but the attack surface is functionally zero because the data never crosses your firewall.
That brings us to the second pillar, which they call the log sentinel or the pattern matcher.
We all know the absolute nightmare of grepping through gigabytes of Nginx access logs or syslogs trying to find the source of a breach or a performance hit.
It's terrible.
And what this does is essentially put a tireless set of eyes on those streams.
This specific feature is a great example of how a local LLM fundamentally changes the paradigm of system administration.
How so?
For years, sysadmins have relied on standard tools like fail-to-ban to monitor logs and stop attacks. But as the WooCommerce page aggressively points out, those legacy tools are essentially blind.
Right, they just follow scripts.
They operate on fixed, rigid rejects rules. If an attacker knows the rules, they just slightly alter their behavior to bypass the rejects, and the tool misses them entirely.
The DevOps Sovereign, however, leverages the semantic understanding of the large language model. It isn't just looking for a specific pre-programmed string of text. It is actually reading and interpreting the context of the logs in real time.
That semantic layer is crucial. It can differentiate between a badly configured internal script creating random noise and a coordinated botnet slowly and methodically probing your ports over several hours.
It understands the intent.
Yes. When it spots a true threat pattern, like a distributed SSH brute force attack that a standard rule might easily miss, it takes action. It dynamically updates your pfSense firewall via an API call to block the entire offending subnet and then alerts you that the threat was neutralized.
It is a massive leap forward from static automated defense to dynamic intelligent defense.
It is the difference between a security guard who just checks IDs against a printed list and a security guard who understands human behavior and notices someone acting suspiciously in the lobby.
That is a great analogy. And that leads perfectly into the third pillar, self-healing infrastructure, or what the product page brilliantly calls the 3 a.m. fix.
Oh, every sysadmin knows the 3 a.m. fix.
Let's look at a scenario that every sysadmin dreads. It is 3.0 a.m. You are fast asleep.
Right.
Suddenly, your Freenet daemon or your Apache server hangs because of a memory leak.
In a traditional setup, your pager goes off, you wake up bleary-eyed VPN into the server, look at the logs, and restart the service manually.
A completely miserable yet completely standard part of the job.
But with the deep admin acting as a systemd watchdog, the workflow changes completely.
Right. It detects the failure pattern in the system logs. It checks its internal pre-approved runbook, automatically executes a system restart command for that specific service, verifies via the logs that the service is back up and responding, and simply sends you a morning notification saying, incident resolved, uptime restored.
You wake up to a fixed problem and a full night of sleep rather than a crisis.
The generated image from our sources that illustrates this concept is wild. It shows this stylized matrix-like visualization of a server log stream, just a waterfall of gray text.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
But one line is bright red. Error service failed. Reaching right into that data stream is a robotic glowing wireframe hand. It is grabbing that red line, pulling it out, and physically replacing it with a glowing green line that reads auto restart success.
It perfectly captures the core philosophy of the product. An active intervening intelligence residing within the machine itself, capable of manipulating the environment to maintain stability.
Here's where it gets really interesting. When you read through the specific use case scenarios they outline to sell this product, they are incredibly tailored and honestly delightfully paranoid.
They know exactly who their target audience is. We are talking about CTOs, lead developers, and security architects who value operational security above literally everything else.
The scenarios in the WooCommerce listing are very revealing about the fractures in the modern cloud default tech landscape.
Take the stealth mode startup scenario. You are a small team building a proprietary high-frequency trading algorithm.
If your code leaks or if a cloud provider's database is compromised and your logic is exposed, your entire business model is dead in the water.
Dead. But by hosting your Git repositories locally on the Sentry Pro hardware, the DevOps Sovereign reviews every single line of code checking for inefficiencies or bugs without your intellectual property ever touching an OpenAI or Microsoft server.
It is total verifiable isolation.
The second use case really highlights the physical and economic efficiency of having the intelligence localized at the edge. They describe a remote node operator managing a solar-powered server node in a rural location in Uganda.
Because it is completely remote, they are relying on expensive, metered Starlink bandwidth for connectivity.
In a traditional cloud monitoring setup, you would have to constantly stream gigabytes of raw server logs, metrics, and telemetry data to a service like Datadog or AWS CloudWatch just to monitor the system's health.
The data fees alone would bankrupt a small project.
Which is the brilliance of this edge compute model. The local AI agent processes all 50 gigabytes of those logs right there on the Sentry Pro's internal hardware.
It does all the heavy analytical lifting locally.
It synthesizes the data, understands the system state, and then only transmits a tiny 5 kilobyte text summary via Telegram when something actually breaks or requires attention.
It completely flips the bandwidth economics of running remote infrastructure.
I love that example because it takes a software product and solves a very physical financial constraint.
And then there is the paranoid sysadmin use case, which bridges physical security with digital intelligence. Let's say you want to know if a bad actor physically walks up to your server rack and plugs in a malicious USB drive to bypass your network firewalls.
A classic physical attack.
Right. The OpenClaw agent is configured to watch UDEV events, which are essentially the Linux system's hardware monitor. If it detects an unauthorized physical USB insertion, the agent instantly snaps a photo via the connected server room webcam, locks the terminal screen, and sends the photo to your phone.
This raises an important question, though. We are talking about granting an AI agent the autonomous power to read your proprietary code, alter your core firewall rules, and execute system-level commands without human intervention. What happens when an AI hallucinates or goes rogue inside a completely closed system? You can't just sever its internet connection to stop it because it doesn't need the internet. It is already inside the house.
That is the terrifying flip side of local AI. If it decides to delete your database, it doesn't have to ask a cloud server for permission.
And the internal SOT document is surprisingly transparent about this reality. In their risk register section, they have identified several critical vulnerabilities unique to air-gapped AI and built highly specific mitigations for them.
Okay, let's hear them.
The first major risk is resource starvation. We talked earlier about that strict 32 gigabyte RAM requirement. The risk here is a user attempting to force an installation on lesser hardware, which would cause the AI to cannibalize all available memory, resulting in the entire system crashing due to an out-of-memory error.
So how do they stop a user from just ignoring the warning sticker?
The mitigation is actually hard-coded into the digital fulfillment script itself. Before the system even allows the Sentry to pull the massive 6 gigabyte payload from the internal dereticular registry, the installer script physically queries the hardware's available RAM.
Oh, wow.
If you have less than 30 gigabytes of free memory available, the installation aborts entirely. It refuses to proceed, protecting the hardware from the user's bad decisions.
It literally refuses to install if your box isn't strong enough to hold the brain. That is a brilliant failsafe. But what about the AI just making things up? Hallucinations are the biggest complaint with any LLM right now.
That is the second major risk listed. The fear is the local LLM aggressively flagging perfectly safe code as a vulnerability, creating a flood of false positives that waste the developer's time, or worse, making incorrect changes to the firewall.
Right, you don't want it blocking legitimate traffic.
To combat this, they utilize what the bill of materials calls a system prompt library. This is a hidden JSON file containing heavily engineered system-level prompts that force the LLM into what they dub senior sysadmin mode.
Senior sysadmin mode, what does that actually mean in practice?
It forces a highly conservative, almost paranoid mindset onto the AI with strict underlying instructions like, if unsure, do not flag and prioritize system stability over novel optimizations.
So they are actively restricting the AI's creativity and generative capabilities to prioritize pure stability and security.
That is a fascinating trade-off. You want a sysadmin to be careful and methodical, not creative and unpredictable.
But you have to wonder, does clamping down on the LLM's creativity blind it to novel unprogrammed threats? If an attacker uses a zero-day exploit that requires a creative leap to understand, does senior sysadmin mode just ignore it because it's unsure?
That is the inherent tension of AI alignment amplified by being in a closed system. You are trading cutting-edge detection for operational safety.
Right.
And speaking of safety, the risk register addresses the absolute worst-case scenario, agent rogue action. This is where the agent, perhaps through a misunderstood command or a severe hallucination, attempts to delete critical system files or wipe a production database.
How do you stop a system-level agent from destroying the system it lives on?
The mitigation relies heavily on traditional, proven Linux security principles. The Docker container running the OpenClaw agent does not run as root. It operates as an unprivileged non-root user.
Okay, so it's sandboxed?
It is purposefully sandboxed, given only read-only access to the vast majority of the system's directories. It can view the logs and read the code, but it cannot alter them directly.
That makes sense.
Furthermore, any action classified within its programming as destructive, like dropping a database table, deleting user files, or wiping a directory, cannot be executed autonomously under any circumstances.
It hits a wall.
The agent is forced to halt the process and require explicit human confirmation via a secure Telegram chat before proceeding. It is a mandatory digital safety catch.
So what does this all mean? When you step back and look at the entire fulfillment workflow, from the rigorous hardware verification to the minting of a unique SHA 256 cryptographic license key to downloading the sandbox Docker container and the 5.8 gigabyte quantized model weights, you're getting a massive amount of capability for a one-time $499 perpetual license.
It really is an incredible value proposition.
And the sources note that this includes a year of over-the-air, air-gapped model updates via USB as well. This digital download fundamentally shifts the power dynamic of artificial intelligence. It proves that you, the individual developer, the privacy-focused CTO, or the small startup, no longer have to choose between leveraging the massive advantages of advanced AI and maintaining absolute uncompromising sovereignty over your intellectual property.
You can literally buy the brain, put it in a metal box on your desk, and own it forever.
Exactly.
It represents a profound philosophical shift in how we think about the future of computing infrastructure. For the last decade, the entire tech industry has operated on the unquestioned assumption that the future was inevitably pushing everything into the cloud.
We assumed that true intelligence required massive centralized data centers and constant internet connectivity.
But if a completely disconnected, air-gapped box sitting quietly on your desk can now read and debug complex code, dynamically hunt advanced hackers by deeply understanding log context, and literally heal its own software crashes using local AI.
We have to rethink our trajectory.
We really do.
It makes you wonder if the pendulum is swinging entirely back to local compute.
Which leads to a really challenging thought for the future of IT. If these edge AI systems continue to improve and they can perfectly heal, optimize and defend a local server indefinitely without human intervention.
What happens to the human skill of system administration?
Exactly. We are building boxes that fix themselves. Do we lose the fundamental ability to understand and repair our own machines in a generation simply because the AI in the box became too good at doing it for us?
That is a phenomenal and slightly terrifying thought to leave on.
Mm-hmm.
Are we automating away our own understanding of the machines we rely on? The ultimate power move might be pulling the plug on the cloud, but the consequence might be forgetting how the plug works entirely.
Something to definitely think about.
Thanks for joining us as we unpack the DevOps sovereign and the reality of local AI. Keep questioning the defaults, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.